You know, we've been studying the book of Acts for some time, and I shared with you that the Lord has put on my heart a series of messages that I'm going to be preaching during the month of December. We'll come back to Acts chapter 20 in January, but during December, I'm going to share with you a series of messages entitled The Wonder of Christmas. You know, it's easy to go through the Christmas season and become a bah humbug kind of individual. Just before Thanksgiving, Vicki and I were talking about what we were going to do with Christmas decorations this year. None of our kids are coming home. Go, ah. Yeah. I don't understand why the other side gets a turn. But anyway, it's not that we're not going to see them. We're going to go see our kids, and we'll enjoy seeing them. But, you know, there really is something different when they don't get to come to your house. Amen? And so Vicki and I were talking about it, and we were discussing what decorations we were going to put up. And the statement was, well, nobody's coming here, so maybe we don't need to do much. And you know, look, whether you put up decorations or not is between you and Jesus, and it's not a big deal, and it's not a spiritual real issue. And I think we probably could do a lot less with the commercialization of Christmas. Amen. But Vicki looked at me and she said, Daryl, we are not going to be those people. Meaning, just because the kids aren't coming home, we're not going to not make much about celebrating the birth of our Savior and doing the things that have had meaning to us and to our family. You know, if you're not careful, sometimes the familiar has a way of being overlooked, undervalued, or maybe even just flat out ignored. The Christmas story is like that. How many times have you read the Christmas story? How many times have you heard about Mary and the angelic voice? And how many times have you heard about the shepherds who were tending their flocks in the field by night? And if you're not careful, you can enter into the month of December, and the Christmas season can actually just become another busy season, and you miss the real meaning of Christmas and the wonder of it all. I heard the story told by David Jeremiah about Wilbur and Orville Wright. It was December the 17th, 1903, and the place was Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Orville and Wilbur had just made history for keeping their flying invention in the air for a total of 59 seconds. Elated, they rushed to the telegraph office and they wired their sister in Dayton, Ohio. And here was the telegram. First sustained flight today for 59 seconds. Hope to be home by Christmas. Their sister was really excited. She hurried down to the local newspaper with the news and the telegram. And sure enough, the next day there was an article about the Wright brothers in the Dayton Daily News. And here's what the headline said. Local bicycle merchants to be home for Christmas. Not one single thing was mentioned about the first airplane flight. It makes us remind ourselves, isn't that a lot like Christmas? We give all the details and we miss the wonder of the most important message of all. During this month, we're going to look in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, and we're going to go through verse 20, and what we're going to do is we're going to see the wonder of Christmas in this story from these shepherds that were in the fields tending their flocks at night, And I believe God has given me several things about the wonder of Christmas that can help you to simply focus your energy and attention and make sure that you don't miss the wonder and the awe of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in this Christmas. Take your Bible and stand with me as we're going to read together from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, and I'll read through verse 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone from them into the heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it, underline this word, wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. When you read this amazing story, you read about these people experiencing the very presence of the living God and the profound impact that it had on their life. I want you to remember this key thought this morning. It's a profound thought that you don't need to forget. When you experience God's presence, your life will be profoundly impacted. Do you believe this? You may be seated this morning. There are some key verses in this passage that I want you to take a look at with me this morning. Notice in verse 8 and 9, in the same region, there were shepherds staying in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Listen, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now in verse 18, when all of this happens and the shepherds go back and they begin to declare everything that they have seen and heard, verse 18, the Bible says, and all who heard it wondered, your translation may say marveled. The word that's used here for wondered means to be amazed at an event or an occurrence, to marvel, to be in awe, to be struck with admiration and astonishment. I think one of the dangers that we face as Christians is that because we have heard the Christmas story over and over and over again, we often think, well, it just becomes too familiar. And sometimes we have a tendency to take the familiar for granted. Do you believe that? And I don't want you to take the story of Jesus and his birth for granted. I don't want you to rush through this Christmas season and miss the wonder of the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. When you read this passage, when it says that they wondered at all these things, they felt the presence of God. They felt Christmas and its true beginning. Now, in this passage, there are three things that I want to say to you this morning. I want you to be aware that God makes his presence known. When you read verses 8 and 9, and it tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, I wonder, what would you have thought, what would you have felt if you had experienced the presence of God like that? You do realize that God is always making his presence known to men. Do you believe that? I realize that there may be people that deny the reality of God, that reject the truth that God exists, but I'm telling you, they're doing so in full denial of the revealed presence of Almighty God in creation and everything that there is. If you look, you will see him. He is everywhere. Amen? What are we speaking of? God makes his presence known in what we call God's omnipresence. Now, God's omnipresence means this is his attribute of being everywhere all at once. He is omnipresent even when we don't experience his presence. He is here even when we don't recognize him. The Bible says it like this in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. You can't get away from the presence of Almighty God. God is everywhere at all times. Amen? God makes his presence known. But not only is God omnipresent, but we also have to speak of God's manifest presence. Now, God's manifest presence is when God chooses to reveal himself in a unique way at a specific time to people. Now, when we think about that and God's manifest presence, we have to realize that God's manifest presence is his presence made manifest, made clear and convincing. You know, there really is a difference between saying God is everywhere and God is here. There are those times in your life where you know God is everywhere, but maybe you don't sense his presence here, but he's still here. But there are those undeniable moments in our lives when the presence of the living God is manifest in our lives, in our church, or in our community, or in any other way that God chooses, and we are overwhelmed that God has made himself known to us. Have you ever experienced the manifest presence of God? I think one of the things in church that we have done far too long, we've become too comfortable attending a service and not sensing the presence of the living God. When we gather together, the reason that we're here is not to have an event. It's not even to hear one another sing. We are gathered here that we may enter into his presence. Do you believe that? When we speak of the manifest presence of God, we speak of several things. First of all, the word theophany. Now, the word theophany comes from the Greek word theos, meaning God, and the Greek verb meaning to appear. So a theophany is an appearance of God. Some of the theophanies that we find in Scripture, for example, Genesis chapter 12, the Lord appeared to Abraham on his arrival in the land God had promised to him. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham had visitors, two angels and God himself. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob wrestled with what appeared to be a man but was actually God. In Exodus chapter 3, God appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush, telling him exactly what he wanted him to do. In Exodus chapter 24, God appeared to Moses with Aaron and his sons and the 70 elders. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, God appeared to Moses and Joshua when the leadership was transferred to Joshua. In Job 38 through 42, God answered Job out of the tempest and spoke at great length in answer to Job's questions. Over and over again, when you read your Bible, you'll read of theophanies, that is, where God makes his appearance known to man. What would happen if the Shekinah glory of God fell upon us this morning and we experienced the very manifest presence of God in this place? Theophanies. But there's also the word Christophany. Now, Christophany is an appearance of Christ. Some Bible commentators believe that whenever someone received a visit from the angel of the Lord, this was in fact the pre-incarnate Christ. These can be seen in Genesis chapter 16 and 22 and Judges 5 and 2 Kings 19. Some of these were angelophanies or appearances of angels. Matthew chapter 1 tells us that God is with us. John 1, John said it like this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Now listen to verse 13. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." What is Christmas all about? The wonder of Christmas is that the God of heaven has made himself known, not just in his omnipresence, but the God of heaven has made himself known in his manifest presence, and that he has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ was born fully God and fully man. God has revealed himself in Christ our Lord. Isn't that glorious? And we can't enter into the Christmas season and get so consumed with all of the things that we get consumed with and miss the real wonder of Christmas. It's an amazing time of the year. Heaven coming to earth, God coming to man. It's interesting that our favorite Christmas hymns remind us that Christmas is a time of wonder. Listen to this. "I wonder as I wander out in the sky how Jesus the Savior did come forth to die. For poor ornery people like you and like I wonder as I wander out under the sky." What about this one? "He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love." And the wonders of his love. The wonders, oh, the wonders of his love. Or maybe you remember this one: "O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy," what? "Perfect light." When we use the word wonder, We don't mean it like this. I wonder who's going to get into the championship today. We use it in a sense of awe. In verse 18, if you look back in Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us in that 18th verse, all who heard it wondered, they marveled at the things that were told them by the shepherds. God making himself known. C.S. Lewis said, we may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito, and the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to attend, in fact, to come awake, still more to remain awake. One writer by the name of Tom Schwanda said, God's presence is not something we create by our efforts. It is always God's gift to us, totally independent of what we do. For in reality, God is always present. It is we who need to be awakened to God's presence. The biblical truth and resulting comfort that we must remember is that God is always with us. God's omnipresence, God's manifest presence. But what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the personal presence of Christ operating in the life of the believer. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples in John 14, said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. He who keeps my commandments and has them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Listen, I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Do you hear what he's saying to you? God wants to make himself known to every single one of us. He makes himself known in his omnipresence. He makes himself known in his manifest presence that we celebrate when we celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who came from heaven to earth, who was born of a virgin, who would die on a cross, who would be placed in a borrowed tomb, who would overcome death, hell, and the grave and be raised to life everlasting. Listen, I'm telling you, God makes himself known. And when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he did not leave you orphaned, but he sent the Spirit to be a witness in you and through you that whispers all throughout the day, I am here. God's presence. Don't go through Christmas. Don't go through Christmas without experiencing the manifest presence of God in your life. God makes his presence known. Isn't that wonderful? Secondly, when you experience God's presence, you will be profoundly impacted. Now, in the story, there are several that were greatly impacted. First of all, there were the shepherds. Look what it says in verses 15, 16, 17, and 20. In verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds began saying, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has made known to us." The shepherds, you know what they did? They began seeking. Are you seeking God this season? It seems like everything around us tells us that there's a lot more for us to look after than God. We're seeking the right gift, the right recipe. We're seeking all of these things, but I want to say to you, as you begin this December season, you make sure to seek Him. We had a FaceTime call from our granddaughter in England yesterday. She's six. She said, "Papa, Nana, I want you to buy me." And her dad said, "Harper, we don't say that. You can tell them what you would like to have for Christmas, but you don't tell them to go buy you something." So she didn't say anything, and we just kept having this conversation. And in just a couple of minutes later, here she came again. "I want you to buy me." Now, you know what that does to a grandparent. It's already been ordered, but you know, that kind of thing. But it's so easy. It is so easy to get our eyes looking for those things that are temporal, when what we really ought to be doing is getting our face focused on the eternal. Amen? The shepherds were seeking. They were experiencing, look in verse 16, what the Bible says. "So they came in a hurry and found their way to Moses, to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger." Listen, when you seek the Christ, you will find the Christ child. They experienced Him. Then in verse 17, when they experienced Jesus, they began testifying. When they had seen this, they made known the statement that had been told them about this child. And then in verse 20, it led to praising. They went back glorifying, praising God for all that they had heard and all that they had seen, just as they had been told. I'm telling you, when you experience the presence of the living Christ, it has an impact, a profound impact on your life. The wonder of God's presence. But there was not just the shepherds, they were all who heard it. Now, it's interesting because when you look at this in verse 18, it doesn't tell us who all of these people were, but it says, "All who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." Now, what that means is they were amazed by it. They were amazed by what they heard. And some of them would receive this truth. But I want to tell you what's really sad. Some of them were amazed and they rejected this truth. You do realize that there are people that hear the truth and reject Jesus Christ. Do you find it amazing that whenever you put the date down, let's say 2023, which we'll all be writing until February, right? Well, I heard it said like this, that the birth of Jesus cut history in half. And everything since then has been defined by the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even people that you know that don't believe in Jesus, reject the gospel, don't like Christians and everything else, every time they write a number on a piece of paper of the year, or they write down the year of their birth, there's a word of testimony that is declaring that God has come. When you encounter the presence of the living God, it has an impact. There are those that are amazed and receive it. There will be those that are amazed and reject it. Then there was Mary in verse 19. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. She treasured all these things and she pondered them. When was the last time that you just sat still before the Lord and treasured what you've been told and you pondered what God has done. It is the presence of Christ with his people, in his people, working through his people that makes us distinctive in this world. The presence of God is everything. Without him, you have nothing. The presence of God provides everything that you and I need in this life and the next. The presence of God will keep you from sin. The presence of God will encourage you. It will give you strength. It will give you courage and boldness. It will set you free from fear. The presence of God gives you wisdom. The presence of God gives you guidance. The presence of God gives you protection. Oh, to live in the abiding, manifest presence of the living Christ every single day. Hallelujah. Isaiah in chapter 41 said, "Don't fear, for I am with you. Don't anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand." In Isaiah chapter 43 and in verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." I don't know what it is that you're walking through in your life right now. I don't know how deep the waters may be. I don't know how hot the temperature is that's turned up on you. But I am telling you, no matter how deep it gets, no matter how hard it goes, no matter how hot the flames feel in your life, there is a God in heaven who has promised he will never leave you or forsake you. He said, "I am with you." God's presence. You do understand that's what Christmas is all about. God with us. God makes his presence known. And when you experience the presence of the living Christ, you will be impacted profoundly. So I want to ask this question. What steps might you take to become more aware of God's presence in your life this Christmas season? There is no place that you can go where you don't have his presence, but there is this sense that we've discussed in Scripture in which we may experience the presence of God in different ways. The Puritans used to talk about the omnipresence of God using the words, "the general presence of God. He is everywhere." We've talked about the manifest presence of God, those incredible moments when God opens the curtain of heaven, manifests his glory in extraordinary ways. But we need to talk about the cultivated presence of God. James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." God has given us the means of grace whereby you and I can experience his presence every single day. I talked to you about God's omnipresence, God's manifest presence, and then we mentioned the Holy Spirit, God's present presence in the life of the Christian. But the fact of the matter is, you can be saved, you can have known Christ for a very long time, but you can begin to live in such a way that you don't really sense the presence of God on a regular basis in your life. And I think that during this season, how many of you are busy? How many of you are wondering how you're going to get it all done? Sure you are. We've done it to ourselves. So if we're going to experience the presence of the living Christ, how do we do that? We cultivate it. We draw near to God that he might draw near to us. I'm going to give you four things to do this season. First of all, slow down. Slow down. Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Listen to me. take time to slow down. If your kids are so consumed with activities that you can't sit down as a family and have a meal and pray together or read the scripture together, you need to slow down. If you can't attend church and gather with God's people to worship him regularly because you are so busy going from one place to the next, you need to slow down. We all need to hear this. We all loved it when COVID came and everything shut down and we didn't have to do everything. Amen? And then it stopped and all of a sudden it started again and everybody was back full force. And now we're going faster and harder than we've ever gone. And we wonder why we don't sense the presence of God. Be still and know that he is God. One of my favorite nights of the year is Christmas Eve. I'm a late night person anyway, but I like staying up late on Christmas Eve because I like to just sit there with the Christmas lights on and I like to ponder the story and meditate on what it all means and just be still before the Lord. Slow down. Second of all, pursue the Lord. Read your Bible. Pray. Meditate on God's word. Remember that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. If you don't want to miss Christ in your Christmas, you're going to have to not only slow down, but you're going to also have to pursue the Lord. You're going to have to make it your ambition that over these next weeks, you desire to experience the presence of Christ above all other things in your life. Third, live generously. God's greatest demonstration of his love is when he gave his son. God's great generosity towards us compels us to generosity. The only answer for materialism is biblical generosity. And during this season, one of the great things that we have to deal with is the desire to get rather than the desire to give. Slow down. Pursue the Lord. Live generously. And fourth, prioritize worship. We need to understand that the purpose of praise and worship is twofold: to glorify God and to enter in to his presence. Please don't come tonight to the hanging of the green expecting to be entertained. It's not why we do it. We're not doing it so you can be impressed with our youth choir or our orchestra or anything like that, because ultimately what we're doing is trying to help you get into the presence of the living Christ. And if we don't accomplish that, we might as well not even do them. Prioritize worship. Make it your priority that you're going to gather with God's people to worship him. In Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" In Jude 24, the Bible says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy." One day we have the assurance that those that have known Christ by grace through faith and have been born again into the family of God, one day we are going to see him face to face. We will stand in the very presence of the living Christ. Isn't that glorious? But God does not intend for us to simply wait until this moment and in this hour to think of that day one day. He wants you all through this season to be in awe, to marvel, and to wonder that the presence of the living Christ is here with you today. But here's a verse that haunts me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to stand as I read this verse. Read it in your mind as I read it out loud. Look at this. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Verse 9. These will pay the penalty. What penalty? Of eternal destruction. Now read these out loud. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. One day there's coming a day when those who have rejected Jesus Christ and have not received him by faith, the Bible says that they will no longer have any opportunity. The common grace of God, where he has made his presence known to all men in creation and on this earth, they will not know the presence of God ever again. And my prayer is that if there is anyone in this room this morning or listening to my voice who has never received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, that today, you will come to one of the pastors in the balcony or here on the floor and say, I'd like to know Christ as my Savior. I don't want to enter into eternity and be away from the presence of the living God. I've been primarily speaking to Christians this morning. Let the wonder of Christmas be the reality of the presence of the living Christ in your life. Pursue him. Live generously. Make a priority to worship with God's people. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So here's the invitation. Number one, if you're here and you've never met Christ, I want to speak with you about knowing him so you can know his presence. Secondly, you're a believer and say, Daryl, you know, I've already been so busy. I feel like I'm already missing what Christmas is all about. Maybe this morning you want to pray with a pastor. Maybe you and your spouse want to come to the altar and just say, God, let us experience the wonder of your presence this year. At Christmas. Maybe you've been thinking about joining our church. You want to speak with one of us about that? You come and we'll help you. Father God, I'm asking that the power of your Spirit will move in this morning and that God, we will truly experience the presence of Jesus Christ this very day. Help us to slow down. Help us to pursue you. Help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray this in Jesus' most glorious and wonderful name. And all God's people said,